We're going to get moving here today. I want to talk about the ending of the woman at the well. Most of you know the story, how Jesus and his disciples were going through Samaria. They stopped at a well. His disciples went on to buy some food. Jesus stayed at the well, and the woman comes up, and Jesus has a conversation with her about spiritual water that he was offering her. And so they have this theological discussion. And how many know her theology was wrong? Hallelujah. A thought went through my mind, but I will just let that go. Amen. You know how you have those thoughts that will get you in trouble? All right. But yeah, it is, brother. It is. So we will move on. But anyway, Jesus brings her to this point where she says, we're looking forward to the Messiah. When he comes, he will reveal all things. And so we pick up in John chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. Basically, he is saying, I am the Messiah. So this morning, we need to realize that everybody needs a Messiah. How many know that? They need the Messiah, Jesus Christ. As we're talking about missions here today, I just want you to kind of have in mind that when missionaries go out, they may have a target group. They may have a country they're going through. But how many know every time you shoot at something, you don't always hit it? Amen. And so we may have a plan of what we're going to do, but how many know that when missionaries go out, they scatter a lot of seed? And who knows who's going to actually accept that seed and that where that seed will grow? Even church planters, they may go into a city and say, I'm going to plant a church here and I'm going to reach a specific people. But how many know those specific people may not be the ones that show up at your church? And so as we're talking about missions here today, some things may not go according to plan. And as if you would talk to Dan and Maria, it might not have gone as they thought in their mind it was going to happen. And so as we go forward here today, we're going to see that the disciples are kind of messed up here today because the people that Jesus wanted to come and save are not the people they had in mind for Jesus to come and save. Amen? And so everybody needs a Messiah, and he is everybody's Messiah. So Jesus said to her, I am the Messiah. And in verse 27, he goes on and says, and at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. It wasn't just the idea of a woman, but she was a Samaritan woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Isn't it a marvel sometimes that people wonder why you're talking to certain kinds of people? How many know in the church that sometimes people can get the wrong idea if we hang out with the wrong type of people? Yes. Sometimes people marvel at the people we reach outside of our comfort zone. When I was in school, we had the preppies. Remember those days with a little alligator on their shirt? Yeah, you remember those people? We had the jocks, and we had those on the lower echelon called the potheads, right? And then the rest of us were kind of squished in the middle there. I don't know if we ever had a name, but we were just kind of in the middle of all that was going on. Even though you were put in classes, even though you may have done sports with them and did various things together, you always associated with those that were in your specific group. And so we're comfortable within our comfort zone. And so the disciples were speechless. Here they come upon Jesus. They bought the food. They come back to the well. And Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman. And it says they were speechless. They didn't even have any questions. But I imagine in their mind they were asking a lot of questions of why Jesus was having a conversation with this woman. We know that Jesus met her on her turf. We know that Jesus initiated a spiritual conversation with this woman. But we need to realize that ministry comes at unexpected times. There are unplanned encounters that we have with people that God puts, maybe we call them divine appointments. Those God moments when God puts you together with people that you normally would not associate with. When we were in associates with Karen's grandparents, we've talked about polvadero, which means dust, right? Out there in the middle of New Mexico, in the middle of nowhere. There was a woman in our church that they were in our former church. Her and her so-called husband. They were married to different people when we were at that church. And when we encountered them in Polvadera, they were both divorced and they were together, this couple. And so we entered into her grandparents' field. If you understand what I'm talking about here today, it was their ministry. We came to help them in what they were doing. For years, they've been planting. For years, they've been sowing and reaping. And so we have entered into the field to help them. And so one night after church, as we were leaving, this woman and I began to have a conversation in the parking lot. And so everybody was leaving. We had vans. We were taking kids home. We were taking people home. And she began to break down and began to cry. And she grabbed a hold of me, and she was hugging me, and she was just bawling and just. What we found out was that she was not married to the guy that she was pretending to be married to. And so, after the service, I guess the Holy Spirit must have got a hold of her. She couldn't handle it anymore, and so here she is. We're in the middle of the parking lot in front of the church. She's crying. She's holding on to me. And her grandmother sees this on her way home. And so as we're laying in bed that night, the phone rings. And we get a call from her grandmother. I happen to answer the phone. And she begins to chew me out royally about how that looked and that I had married a very precious and beautiful woman. And here I was hugging a woman in the parking lot in front of everybody. So she called me out. And at that moment, my mind was going, and I would have liked to have called her out. I would have liked to have called her some things, but I was very sanctified, and I just kept my mouth shut at that moment. But it was a woman at the well moment. The dam broke. It was a spiritual encounter where the Holy Spirit was dealing with her, that she was living in sin, pretending to be married when she was not. And so we were able to minister to her. Just like the woman at the well, she needed someone to talk to, and Jesus was there. Just like this woman needed someone to talk to her in Polvadera, New Mexico, I was there. How many know that God will put you in places where He needs you to talk to people? Those who are considered maybe the untouchables, those who are outside of your comfort zone, He will put you in contact with them. These divine moments, these divine appointments, they're not glamorous. They are messy encounters. And so we should be willing at any moment and any time to be that spokesman for Jesus Christ, to let people know that Jesus is their Messiah. Amen? All right. I just want to make sure you weren't sleeping. Verse 28, the story goes on. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. This is it's a great story. This woman was ready for good news. I don't know about you. You turn on the news, all you see is bad news. There are people that are looking. They are ready to hear some good news. So in her excitement, she forgot what she was doing. She left her pot there at the well and went running down into the city. So I don't know what the response was. I was thinking of that song, "I Can Only Imagine" by Mercy Me, how we're going to respond when we're before the Lord. I don't know how this woman responded. I don't know if she was running towards the city. I don't know if she was shouting. I don't know if she was crying. I don't know if she was praising God, saying hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know how the response was. But she must have been a little bit excited. I imagine this encounter with Jesus was, as we know, life-changing. And so I don't know what her response was, but Jesus is watching her run down to the city. We all remember those times in our life. We remember those things that had happened in our life, and we kind of dropped what we were doing at the time. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember when you were filled with the Holy Spirit? You remember when the good news was that the person that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with said yes? right? You remember the first time you heard that, and maybe the second time, third time, fourth time, that you heard you're going to be a parent, right? Where you were accepted in college, you got the job you wanted, you made the team, whatever. We have those moments in our time when we kind of forget about what we're doing. And so this woman kind of forgot what she was doing in her excitement, left her pot, and ran on into the city. She had to tell someone. In fact, the Bible tells us she told everyone what Jesus had done for you. You know that old saying in the past, if you wanted to spread the news, right? Maybe you sent a telegraph. Maybe you used the telephone. Or maybe all you need to do is tell a woman. Verse 30, we will move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So picture this in your mind, all right? Hallelujah. God is on the throne. Amen. This woman was excited. She ran off and left her bucket at the well, ran in the city, told everyone about Jesus. And I like what it says here in this verse 30, and it says, they went out from the city, meaning the people that were in the city began to come out. And what this literally means, it was a long streaming procession, meaning she just didn't grab a hold of her friends. It just didn't. She didn't get hold of the town council, and just a few individuals were coming out. But there was a parade of individuals that were coming towards Jesus to the well. What it's saying here is she emptied the town. People were coming to hear, to respond to what she had told them about Jesus. So this is exciting stuff. They came to check out what she was saying about Jesus. So this is evangelism 101, is it not? To tell your testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So she went in and told them, oh, he told me all about my life, and he said he's the Messiah. And man, she was leading the parade up the hill to see Jesus. But get this, in verse 31, in the meantime, out at the ranch, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? The disciples were acting like Martha. You know the story of Mary and Martha? Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's teaching and sharing. And what's Martha doing? She's in the kitchen working. She's banging the pots and the pans and trying to get Mary's attention, right? Because she's doing all the work. We see the disciples in that same state of mind here. They missed the main event. Sometimes when people come to church, they miss the main event. We see that the disciples, they were focused on what? On food. They were repeatedly urging Jesus to eat. And so, amen, that's good stuff, right? So, Jesus, he watches this woman run down to the city. He sees this stream of people coming to him. And he's looking at his disciples there with their mouth full of food. Pie with a scowl on his face, rolling his eyes, shaking his head, oh God, help me. In the church, we can become focused on other things. Some of you may think I'm anti-worship. I'm not. I know the study of God's word is important. The programs are important. One of the things that we, when we come in on a Sunday morning, we have an order of service, and weekly it gets disrupted. It never happens the way we think it's going to happen. But sometimes we want to fit everything in. We want everybody to do what they need to do. And so we may miss the most important thing by trying to fit in everything that we think is important. And we can become unaware of the people around us. Church is not about just you. Not about you having a worship experience, not just about you learning about God's word, not you just about coming in and having a communion time and a sweet presence here in the experiencing a sweet presence with the Lord, but how many know that people are important? We say, I don't come for the people. And that's your problem. That's the point of what I'm saying here today. Because we can become so self-centered that we miss out what God wants to do in people around us. Jesus wants us to be church-centered. Yes, he wants you to worship him. Yes, he wants you to learn his word. But he also wants you to know that there are people around you that need ministry. There are people sitting in this congregation that have gone through something or are going through something, and they need you just to love on them, to care about them. Not for you to go out and say, "Ooh, I had a good time." We are the church. And people that do not go to church, they're missing out on what God wants to do in their lives and through their lives. The disciples were so consumed with eating that they were missing the fireworks. They were missing the miracle that was taking place all around them. They were probably asking, who has the hot sauce? They were worried about eating the food. And Jesus says, I have food that you don't even know of. And you're missing out, guys. You're missing out. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Jesus reminds us in this story, as John recorded it, that we have a task set before us. And that task is the same as his. We are to do God's will, and we are to fulfill his work. We are told not to put it off. It's not something we could put off for tomorrow. We are working together, a team of us, in our Acts 2 journey. Our next meeting in November, we're supposed to have our vision lined out and begin to present it. But that's 4 months away. And Jesus is looking over this scene. He is looking over all these individuals. He's looking at the woman. He's looking at the crowd. He's looking at his disciples saying, hey, you know, don't look 4 months down the road. Because no doubt there were some fields around them that were just planted. No doubt there was things just coming up, sprouting from the ground. And he says, yeah, in 4 months they're going to be harvesting this stuff. But he said, don't wait for then. He wasn't talking about the physical harvest. He was talking about the spiritual harvest. He was talking about now. He told them, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. He wasn't concerned about agriculture at that moment. He was concerned about people. And in verse 35, we read it there, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, they are already white for harvest. We understand the word harvest. We live in a rural area, and from the late winter, when they plow up the ground, the spring they plant it, we've watched all year as the crops have come up, as we've driven down the road. We understand what harvest is. We also understand that harvest does not happen naturally. A farmer doesn't just plant 1 year and hope it comes up the next year after he has reaped that year's harvest. How many know it takes work, right? It doesn't come up natural. If you want to leave it, you know what you will reap the next year? You will reap weeds, right? You will not reap a harvest. But the word that stuck out to me, and I was kind of curious, I wanted to understand what it meant to be the white. It was already white for harvest. And we can assume here today in our intelligence here that it means it was ripe, that it was ready. But I looked that word up, white, and it means this. It means to be brilliant. It means to be shiny. It has to do with purity, holiness, and divinity. And so as I began to look at the meaning of that white unto harvest, I began to kind of see what maybe Jesus was seeing at that time. He was looking at that harvest and saying, it's white. It's white. How do we see those around us? Do we see them white? Do we see them whole? Do we see them pure and healed, delivered, valued, precious, holy? See, that's Jesus's view. That's what he was seeing in that harvest that day. Or do we see the harvest as stained and polluted and dirty and unworthy, gross and without help, hope? How are we looking at the harvest, church? Jesus is crying out. He cried out to his disciples. He said, lift up your eyes. He was talking to his disciples. Lift up your eyes and look at the white fields. Jesus was saying, do you see the adulterous woman that was caught up in failed relationships? Do you see these people, the Samaritans that you call dogs? Do we see the harvest? We went on a hike, and I believe we have a picture of the hike. There was two paths. There was one for the older folks, and there was one for us younger folks. My wife was ready to go on that old path. I said, nope, we're going with the young people up that hill. And we went up that hill. And so going up, you can see parts of that. Go back. You can see we didn't climb up the face of that, but there were some steep areas. In fact, it was steep enough for them to have put cables in for us to hang on to kind of work our way up the path. And so as we were climbing, if we would have just focused on just the path, guess what? We would have missed the panoramic view. And you can see it, the next slide. Sorry, they're not that great. But there's you can see the village down below. And so as we periodically climbed that thing, we would turn around and just look at the panoramic view. And so this is what's taking place. The disciples were so focused on food. They were so focused on their task of getting on the road and going where they were going, and they were missing the panoramic view. They were missing all these beautiful Samaritans coming to Jesus. We are encouraged, church, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We need to pray that we have an Isaiah 6 encounter with God when he had a vision. And God, he heard a voice out of heaven saying, who shall I send? You remember that? And what Isaiah said? Send me. Here am I. Send me. We need those encounters. And I'm not talking about going over to seas. I'm not talking about Romania or Mexico or Canada. I'm talking about in your backyard. Lord, woo, send me. Verse 36. And he who reaps receive wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So 11 of us went on a trip to Romania. 4 different churches, I believe, are represented. Is that correct? On that. And it was a mission of sowing and reaping. But the truth is, we entered into someone else's field. We entered into Dan and Maria and their family's field. We entered into the field of other churches that were ministering to some of the people that come to their ministry. It was a little bit more than just partnering. It's easy to kind of just put money in a plate and say, I'll pray for you. It's a little different when we put feet to those prayers. And we use that money instead of sending it there, we send ourselves. But what we saw where the group had the privilege of entering their field and also of the privilege of reaping a harvest of souls. There was children that raised their hand. There was women that raised their hand to know more about Jesus. We entered somebody else's field where we didn't even begin, where we didn't sow. We might have watered. We might have had the privilege of also being part of the harvest. But we're partners in all that we do. You sent Dan out, what, 30 years ago? Amen? And you are part of that harvest. Verse 39, and we're closing out. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. You don't think your testimony has power? This woman's testimony changed an entire town. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. Or we can say we have experienced him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what church is all about. You are the church. The harvest is white. Get a glimpse of it as pure and holy and as Jesus saw it. Where you live is Sychar, the city where Jesus was at the well. Where you live is your Sychar. And believe it or not, you are the woman at the well. We are the ones called to testify what God has done for us. We need to tell our story. And today we're going to have some individuals come and share a little bit with you, but let's just bow our heads a moment. Lord, this is an incredible story. Just your relationship that you built with this woman was incredible. Just the way that you took the words that she said and used them to point her to you. We thank you, Lord, in everyday conversations, Lord. We can begin to point people to you using their very words, their very experiences to bring them to you. I pray, Father, that you will give us wisdom, that you will give us knowledge, that you will give us discernment, that, Lord, we will truly be those people that will look up. We will lift up our eyes and that we will look at the fields because they are white. We don't have to pray for the harvest. We just need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And Father, may we have the boldness, because you said you've given us the power in the Holy Spirit, to say as Isaiah did, Lord, send me. Use me to change somebody's life. So, Lord, we just commit this service, this word to you, and may it just stir something in our hearts here today that will prepare us, Lord, for what you personally want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.